sorry to say that Elvis is not here, but I'm going to try this song.
I'm just so glad to see you. Turn around and see the person behind you. Run off. Good to have you here today. We're continuing our study through Isaiah. Enjoyed Isaiah 5 this morning. We'll be in Isaiah 6 tonight. And we're going to talk about the Great Commission of God. God is calling a people to himself, and he calls his people to represent him, to go out and to tell others about him. And Isaiah, you should have a handout, I hope you do. The responsive reading is going to be from Isaiah 6, verse 8, and Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28 is a very familiar passage, but Isaiah, you may not know that. Isaiah 6, 8 says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me."
Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Isn't that a good word from God? I'm going to ask my brother in Christ, Tony, if you would. You're on my heart. Would you open us up in prayer?
Let us pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, we just bow in your presence one more time. Father, we thank you for this day that you've allowed us to have in your presence, the opportunity to come in your house and worship and praise you. Father, we thank you for this dear pastor, Brother David. We pray that you'll just minister to him, this dear congregation. May you speak to and through him tonight. May you speak to us. Father, may your words become fluid through us as a vessel, a fit for your use. May you be glorified and praised in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. As we came through Matthew, I didn't cover the Great Commission, but I did that for a reason. I wanted to cover it when we came into Isaiah. When we think about the Great Commission, we think that it's a New Testament thing, but God has always had a people that he sent for himself in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. In the Great Commission, God makes it plain that we are to tell others about Jesus. The Bible says no one can be saved unless they're told about Jesus. Amen. They can't believe by osmosis. You know, some people say, well, they'll just see my life and believe that I'm a Christian, and they'll know all about it. But that's not true. People have to be shared the gospel. And people want to hear the gospel. So we can preach in confidence because of that Great Commission. And we can share the word. Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, he said in Matthew, and I want you to look at that part first. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power, which means no one can be saved apart from Christ. There is no saving power. There is no Holy Spirit. There is no change in the life. If a person leaves this life without receiving Christ as Lord and Savior, they leave this life to go to an eternal heaven. A place of torment, the Bible tells us. A place of horror, and a place that I definitely don't want to go. Amen. And want no one that I love to go to.
Amen.
Jesus said, all power is given unto me, saying this, that if when you go forth for him, a lot of times we're a little bit nervous about telling someone about Jesus. But I'll tell you, if you will trust the Lord, God will open the doors Amen. For you, and he will give you the power. Jesus told us, he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Teach is something you do with your mouth. You tell someone, what do you teach? He said, you teach me. He says, teaching them to observe, to do all the things I've commanded you to do. Jesus did not tell us to entertain goats, but he told us to teach of Christ and to feed the sheep. Too many churches today are entertaining goats. The preachers are trying to figure out ways they can bring people into the church. What new stunt can I do? I've seen preachers stand up in the pulpit and get their toenails painted. Because they thought they would bring a high attendance Sunday. I'm not making this stuff up. I've had preachers get in dunking booths. I'm not making this stuff up, beloved. We're not called to be clowns. We're called to be commissioned warriors for God. And we're called to tell others about Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus said, tell them what I said. And teach them to observe all the things that I said. What did Jesus teach us to observe? To love one another. To care for one another the way that Jesus cares for us. To look at someone not as an object. And I think that's what we've done in the world today. We've objectified people. We think of people as things. But people are not things. People are not animals. People are made in the image of God. And God loves you. And God wants us to go out there and tell people what Jesus said. That he came and he died for the worst sinner. The worst sinner there ever was. A lot of people say, we don't want them in church with us. But beloved, they don't need to be in church with us if we've got that kind of an attitude.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
The church is a place where sinners come together and rejoice under the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
There is no one in the church that is not a sinner. And those who are in the church that think they are not sinners or that they deserve to go to heaven based on their own basis will bust hell wide open along with the rich man.
Right.
They're going to go into that place. None are righteous in themselves, but through Christ you can be righteous. Jesus said we're to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're to baptize them in the name of the Trinity. As people say, well, preacher, can you die and go to heaven without being baptized? Well, yes, you can. If you're nailed to a cross like the thief that died next to Jesus, yes, you can. But, beloved, I tell you this. If you're born again, you ought to want to be baptized.
Amen.
If you're born again, you ought to want to do what Jesus said do. You see, baptism is a place of authority. Because in baptism, you have to release yourself to the pastor and let him put you under the water. I've had people say, well, I don't mind being saved, but it's too embarrassing for me to be baptized. Beloved, what a shame that is. All you're telling me by that is this, is that you really don't trust Jesus. Because if you trust Jesus, you'll do what Jesus tells you to do. Amen. When Jesus tells you to do it. And Jesus is the one that said you're to be baptized.
Amen.
I think we have an authority problem today in the church. People have not quite fully surrendered to Jesus. But God calls us to a full surrender. He says, come unto me, and I will take care of you. So the Bible tells us, don't worry about being ashamed. He says, go forward, be baptized. Be baptized. And then Jesus said this as he ended that great commission. He said, lo, I am with you. Oh, what wonderful words that is. Amen. Jesus is with his people. But I want you to notice he's with us when we're doing what he tells us to do. Jesus never blesses us when we don't do what God tells us to do. But he will always bless us when we do.
Amen.
And I'll tell you this, I am so glad my God is faithful. Aren't you?
Amen.
I am so glad my God loves me. Aren't you?
Amen.
I am so glad that the blood of Christ applied to my heart is going to stay because his spirit lives inside of me. And I am so glad that God is in control of it all. Jesus said, I'm with you no matter what you go through. Now in Isaiah 6:8 tonight, it says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I want to look at that phrase for just a moment. He says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? What's interesting about that statement? Do you say the word us there? He said, who's going to go for us? God is a triune God. You're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. God, whenever he made man, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. God is a triune God, but he's one. And God said, who is going to go forth for me? And who will go forth for us? Will the angels go forth? Who's going to go forth? The angels can't go forth. God did not commission the angels to carry the great commission or the gospel of God. The angels don't understand the gospel of God. You know that when the angels fell from heaven, that God gave no salvation for them. The angels betraying God have no hope of salvation. When Satan walked away from God and he led a third part of heaven with him, the Bible says that they were cast out of heaven. The Bible tells you in Revelation 12:7, there'll come a time where the devil will be cast out of heaven. It says Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. And there was found no place for them in heaven evermore. The angels who fell away, they have no right to heaven. The angels who fell away have no gospel. But my Bible tells me this, that Jesus, when he came, he was made lower than the angels for the suffering of death. I don't know why, but God loved us more than he loved the angels. He loved that. That astonishes me because the angels were with him before man ever was. But God loved the angels before, but he loved them, but he loved us more. And Jesus, the Bible tells us, was made lower than the angels for a short time so that God, by God's grace, he might taste death for everyone. He was crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death for us. Hebrews 2:9 tells us this. So who can go forth for Jesus or who should go forth for Jesus? Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 6. If you're not there, I'm going to go through some other texts that may not be on your sheet. But I want you to notice in Isaiah 6:1 it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Who was King Uzziah? He was one of the good kings of Israel. He was one of the great kings of Israel. But Uzziah got high and lifted up himself. He got prideful. He departed from following the Lord. Y'all ever have trouble with pride? Nobody saying anything. I'll tell you this, I have trouble with pride. We all have trouble with pride. Uzziah decided one day that he was as good as the priest in the temple. So he went to the temple and he made a sacrifice. He burnt incense to God. And God put leprosy on Uzziah. He punished him for that. You know, when you set yourself up higher above God and you try to make yourself high and lifted up, God will bring you low. He always will. But Uzziah was a king who loved the Lord. His son reigned in his stead. He was a good king. He reigned for 52 years. But he reigned apart from Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that Uzziah, he didn't honor the Lord at the end. And he became a leper because of that. Uzziah, whenever he died, Isaiah saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. And I want you to notice the Lord sits upon a throne. He rules the earth from that throne. And I want you to see that our Lord, as he sits in that throne, he is high and he is lifted up. And his train fills the temple. Now what does that mean? I have a friend named Ricky Allen. He's the man that led me to the Lord. And I love Ricky. Ricky's a great guy. And Ricky likes choo-choo trains. I didn't make that up. Y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. In his house, he's got model trains everywhere. They go all around the house. And whenever I go to visit him, he'll set them running. And it's fascinating to watch those trains. When we read this tonight, that's not the type of train that is being talked about. In ancient times, when a king ruled, he had a long robe because cloth was very expensive. And the longer the robe, the more powerful and rich that king was. When Isaiah looked in the temple, at the temple in heaven, he saw the train of the robe of God, and it filled that temple. It touched every bit of it. Let me tell you this. God is God of heaven, and he's God of earth. And there is nothing that our God cannot do. Our God is an awesome God. And there is our God is powerful, and he's greater than anything you might imagine. Isaiah looked into heaven, and he saw God. Wouldn't y'all like to see that? You know, we think, I can't wait to get to heaven so I can see my loved one. I can't wait to get to heaven until I see my grandma or my grandpa. But I want you to know, when you get to heaven, the first thing you're going to see in heaven is not your grandma or your grandpa, but you're going to see your God.
Amen.
And you're going to see him high, and he's lifted up. Not because anybody lifted him up, but because God himself is lifted up. He's lifted up above everything, and he's greater than anything. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God is immense in his power. As I talk about the Lord tonight, there are preachers all over the world talking about the Lord, and God is in every congregation watching that. Jesus said, where two or more gather together in my name, he said, there am I in the midst of you. God knows what we're saying right now. He's watching us. And thank God, he knows what you're thinking. I'm glad I don't know what you're thinking. Amen. I'm gonna say that again. I'm glad I don't know what you're thinking. Sometimes I look at you and I don't know what you're thinking. I really don't want to know. Don't verbalize it. Amen. But God knows. He's high and he's lifted up. What else did Isaiah see? When he saw our God in heaven. And in Psalm 115:3 it tells us, our God is in heaven, but he does whatever he pleases. Proverbs 16:9 says, a person's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines his step. You know you have free will, but God has greater will than you can ever imagine. And God can make you do what God wants you to do. And God rules over everything that he's created. This is an immense God. As Isaiah looked into heaven, look at verses 2 through 4. Above the throne stood the seraphim. The seraphim were the angels that guarded the throne. And I want you to notice, these powerful angels had six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. And with two wings, they covered their feet. And with two wings, they flew. And that's a beautiful picture in that. As these creatures are around the throne of God, they're covering their face. Why are they doing that? Because God is immense in his power. You know, sometimes we go to God in arrogance and we make ourselves as big as God in our hearts. But God is bigger than anything we can imagine.
Amen.
And if you want anything from God, you need to humble yourself before God. These seraphim, as they fly, they're covering their faces out of respect for God. They're covering their feet because the feet is the lowest part of a person so that they respect their Lord. And they're flying around the heaven. And as they're flying, they're singing a song. And they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." I think your granddaughter was spoken to by God today because she called out that "holy, holy, holy." And I thought, she nailed it right there. That's what we needed. We needed to sing, "Holy, holy, holy." Good job. Thank you for being open to the Lord. Amen. And she said, "Let's sing this song." You know, these angels, they fly about heaven and they say, "Holy, for the Father is holy. Holy because the Son is holy. And holy because the Spirit of God is holy." As they fly about heaven, they say, "He is the Lord of hosts. He is the Lord who controls all things. And the whole earth is full of His glory." Oh, if you would walk outside and just start looking at things as if God created it, you'd realize that God is immense. What a beautiful thing God has given to us in this earth. The earth is filled with His glory. And as these angels praised God, listen, it says in verse 4, "The posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." Oh, whenever we get the praise of the Lord and just enjoying Jesus, I wish we would just move the ground. I love it whenever you started clapping earlier. That was good. How many followed in the clapping, brother?
Several.
Several of them? I was clapping too. I think we ought to, whenever we worship God, we ought to worship Him with all of our hearts.
Amen.
I believe the doorposts of the house ought to be just moving. I had somebody tell me one time, they said, "You really got into it today. I could hear you outside as I was coming into the church." Some of the kids out there. I think we ought to do that all the time. Amen.
Amen.
I think we ought to give our God a hand right now, because our God is awesome. He is awesome. And as Isaiah looked into heaven, I want you to notice what it says in verse 5. He said, "Woe is me. I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." I want you to notice that the one that can testify for Jesus is the one who understands that he's a sinner. He's a sinner. Self-righteous people can't tell anybody about Jesus. People who think they're good in themselves, they can't tell anybody about Jesus. And I believe the reason a lot of people don't share Jesus, though they call themselves Christian, is because they have not called upon the name of the Lord and been saved. You see, later on in the text, God says, "Who shall go for me?" But it was Isaiah who went for him when he was saved. And Isaiah looked into heaven and he saw God high and lifted up. And he said, "Oh, woe is me. I am nothing. I am a man of unclean lips. I'm a broken thing." And he said, "I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." We're all sinners. We're all fallen creatures. But when we understand that and understand that we need the Lord, that's when God can make us able to tell others about Him. The Bible says that he said, "My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And I sense a nervousness in Isaiah. But I want you to notice what it says next in Isaiah 6, verse 6. "Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand." Now let's not leave that live coal. In ancient times, one of the sacrifices you made was a burnt offering. And in the burnt offering, you would take a lamb without spot, without blemish, and you would kill it and shed its blood, and you would put it on the altar, and you would burn it completely. Those coals were the coals that were used to light the incense of the temple. As Isaiah bemoaned the fact that he was a man with unclean lips, this angel does something beautiful. He goes to that burnt offering and he takes a coal out of that burnt offering and he brings it to Isaiah and he touches his lips and Isaiah's sins are forgiven him. What is that symbolic of? My Bible tells me that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for my sins. He is the Lamb of God without spot and without blemish. He is the one that the fury of God fell on. He is the one who stood in my place and was judged in my place. And because the judgment of God was poured out on him, when I receive him and I believe him and I confess him with my mouth, the Bible says that God works in my heart and I'm saved. with a mouth confession is made into salvation. This angel touches his lips and all of this goes away. The Bible says that we overcome the sin in our lives through God, through what Jesus has done. 1 Peter 3:18 says this, Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but he was made alive in the spirit. And Hebrews 10:12 tells us, Christ offered for one time a single offering for sins. He sat down on the right hand of God, and by a single offering he perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the promise of God is this to everyone who believes. Oh, and I wish we would share this with others. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised you from the dead, you shall be saved.
Amen.
For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Whoever believes on him shall not be ashamed.
Amen.
Oh, my beloved, let me tell you, the way to save people is to trust God to save them. To tell them about Jesus, to share the fact that God loves them and that Jesus died for them. This angel came and touched him. And it says in verse number 7, the angel said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Whom shall God send? Who can God send? God must send someone who is a sinner who was saved. People a lot of times they say, well, you know, Brother David, I feel unworthy to tell anybody about Jesus. You're in the best place possible to tell somebody about Jesus. You say, well, Brother David, I've made some bad mistakes in my life. Well, I look around this room and I ask the question, who hasn't? Amen.
Amen.
God does not ask us to be perfect, but he asks us to believe in a perfect God.
Amen.
And to trust him. And one of the things that I've often heard is they say, well, Brother David, they won't listen to me if I tell them about Jesus. I want y'all to look at one other passage before I close here. In Isaiah 6:9-10, God told him this. He said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see you indeed, and perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted, and be healed. You know what God told them if you sit there and read that? God told Isaiah, he said, you go and tell them, but they're not going to hear you anyway. He said, you tell them anyway, but they're not going to hear you anyway. You know, when I first started telling people about Jesus, and first started preaching, I began to say, Lord, why don't I see more people saved? You know what God told me? He said, I'm the one that's got to save them.
Amen.
You just tell them. You tell them about Jesus. And if they die in their sins, then their blood is on them. It's not on you.
Amen.
But if you don't tell them about Jesus, and you don't tell them that Jesus died for them, then when they die, their blood is on your hands.
Amen.
Don't worry about the results. Worry about being obedient.
Amen.
Worry about sharing Christ and sharing simply. I like to start this way. Have you noticed that I'm a sinner?
Amen.
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 Amen. Have you noticed I'm a sinner? But my Lord saved me.
Amen. Amen.
And if my Lord saved me, he'll save you.
Amen.
People say, what must I do to be saved? You must just come to Jesus and believe he paid it all.
Amen.
Jesus died for your sins. Jesus gave himself so that you could come to God. That's what Jesus did. God sends us into a lost, darkened, and fallen world to share a simple message that God so loved the world, that's you and that's me,
Amen.
That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
We share the message. They may not hear. God told Isaiah, they're not going to hear anyway, but you tell them. You tell them. That's all we got to do. We just tell them. And when we tell them, then we leave God to work out the rest of it.
Amen.
God works in the life that comes to him.
Amen.
We serve an awesome God. Amen.
Amen.
So let me end with this. God is asking from heaven today, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And he's not going to make anybody go for it. He asked the question. He says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? The reason he left you on this earth, dear Christian, is so you can share Christ with others. Because time is short. I literally believe we're living in the last days. Every week I'm surprised we reach Monday, aren't y'all?
Amen.
I really am. I think we're living in the last days. I see so many crazy things, I don't even turn on the news anymore. It's just amazing the stuff that I see. But God is still in control.
Amen.
And God is still calling people. And God is asking you, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Who will do that? And God wants you to answer, I will. And I pray if you're born again, you will. Jerry, come lead us with a final hymn and we'll close.
Go with me to number 576. While you're turning over there, I don't want to pass up one more opportunity.